My name is Paul, and I'm a comic book geek.
This is Corbs, and I'm a sports geek.
Welcome to Geek Pod. Welcome to this week's edition of Geek Pod. We're going to jump right back in with myself and Corbs from last week. Actually back from April. But have no fear, we're going to be putting up a regular schedule from here on out. I'm hoping to have a new episode up at least once a month, maybe every other week. We're going to see how it goes. But enjoy, we're going to start off talking about comic books.
But we spent a lot of time referring back to comics, so maybe we got to actually talk a little bit of comics.
All right.
First one I want to talk about in this feature I like to call the Comics Rack is a book I had you read right before we got on the air.
That's just that. Go ahead and I got nothing.
Now, these guys, it's from a small independent comic book company called VA Comics. Their website is www.va-comics.com. They've put out the first issue of a book that they're doing on their own, and this is a local place. They're out of Utica, an hour away from here. This series they're doing, it's black and white. It's called Today's Hero. I met these guys at a local con, and they were talking about it.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, sorry.
See, the shit, he doesn't even tell me some of this shit. I mean, seriously.
Even Madison knows. She was there.
Take your daughter to comic.
She loves it. I am training her to be undateable. Is exactly what I'm doing.
So you don't have to sit around with a shotgun when people come to the house. I'm gonna be in that situation though. I don't have a daughter.
I was gonna say,
but my son.
There's a difference.
You
have a son.
Yeah.
I have a daughter. Two. Yes. I know. He's miming over here that I have two. I do know I have two children.
You have two both daughters. Girls.
Now, here's the big split. This is the difference on it. I know we're supposed to be talking comics, but I love using this line any chance I get. You have a son. You've got to worry about one dick.
Yeah.
I got to worry about all of them.
Yeah.
I have to worry about every other one out there.
Yes, so. You do. All right. And on that note.
Yeah, back to it. So, speaking of dicks, because the guy in this issue. Now, issue one is called Meet Jake. And from talking with these guys, and it doesn't really say it too much in here, but the world this takes place in is a world of superhumans. And the country's greatest superhero that they had, according to this, it's gone. No, he's dead.
Oh, he's
gone.
Okay.
What happened? So now there's these other ones that are randomly sprouting up, like our good friend Jake here, who he's kind of like a Wolverine. He can regenerate.
God, I hope so, because after reading that book.
Yeah. Well, what Jake has done, apparently, before we start into this, was use this power of his to...
No offense. I have to say this. But if I had that power... I would do the same thing.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you.
No, because it is human nature. What he did was cause an accident at his job to get his arm cut off. And so he's naturally using it for like workers' comp or whatever and making a shit ton of money from them. Well, the arm obviously grew back in the meantime, and Jake is basically a typical scumbag guy from the way I see it. I mean, the book opens up with... him basically watching porn.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I got with it.
Yeah, because at first it seems like maybe he's having sex with somebody, and he turns the next page and he's sitting in front of the TV.
Yeah, and they actually do the panel where he's unbuttoning his pants. Now, what goes wrong is his caseworker calls and says she's coming over to check up on him. Well, like I said, the arms were grown back.
Right.
So he takes it upon himself to chop the fucking thing off.
But before she shows up.
But
on the same token, he just doesn't take the whole arm off. He starts with the hand.
You're right.
He takes the hand first.
Yes, and realizes that he needed to take more of it because it wasn't right. Yeah.
And he cuts it off. Now, in the comic book, it's supposed to be above the elbow.
Yes, which she notes when she comes.
Right. His caseworker notes that, hey, your says above the elbow, and this is actually below the elbow.
And he makes the joke.
He makes the comment, well, maybe it's growing back.
Yeah.
So.
Now, my favorite part was when he's talking about not... filling their prescriptions. Did you catch that?
I did notice something that he...
She asked him why he hasn't filled any of his pain meds.
Oh, he wanted to stay clean or something.
And yeah, he believes in clean living. But if you look around it, his entire living room is full of like empty beer bottles and bongs.
I don't know if you didn't catch that. I missed that.
Yeah. I mean, not a lot happens in the book. He just basically, from the way I see it, is he kind of creeped her out to get her to leave.
Yeah.
Then, the book ends with him trying to put the arm down the garbage disposal. Garbage disposal. Which, did you notice the hand grew back already on that?
Yes,
on
it
that
did. The hand was, yeah.
So, yes. Now, these guys, I did enjoy it. It's a very quirky book. It's not going to be for everybody.
Right.
It's very quirky, but I had a lot of fun reading it. Judging from the horrified look on your face, I'm not sure you enjoyed it as much.
Not that I didn't enjoy it, it just...
It's fucked up.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, it's definitely... There's some twisted shit going on in there.
Now, I did reach out to Paul Laporte, who's the main guy behind this. Just ask him what the status is on the next part. Well, they're planning on launching a Kickstarter to try and get some help with issue 2.
Okay.
And that's going to go up sometime in April, he said. And he also wanted me to mention that they have another book they're working on right now that the concept behind that one, it's vampire hunting is a spectator sport. It's a satirical comic. Very violent, he said. Goofy humor. And that one's called Stake Center. check out their website. Give their stuff a look. They're a good group of guys. I'd really like to see them do well.
Yeah. The book, the comic looks pretty good. I would have to probably read the next one when it comes out just to kind of see where it goes.
Yeah.
But, kind of interesting.
I'm hoping they're going to be back. There's going to be another con in May. May 18th at the Electronics Parkway Holiday Inn in Liverpool. So we'll be going back. And by then, I'm hoping to actually have GeekPod shirts made up. I plan on rocking it.
There you go.
For the next one. GeekPod did have a presence at the last con. And it's on the website. There's actually my review from the last con.
Okay.
What we did is, and I don't know if... I posted it on the website. It's on there, too. I went around and I kind of had a little lithograph made with the GeekPod logo on it and had all of the talent that was at the show sign it for us. And it went up on the site.
Nice.
Yeah. Met a lot of really great guys. A lot of people have agreed to come on when we start doing interviews with professionals.
Nice.
I haven't been back to contact them, but I'll re-up with them in May.
We need to get some guests in here every once we get up and going.
Definitely.
Just so we can fuck with people.
Oh, that's my plan from the start. The only other comic book I really wanted to touch on this week... and it's because it came out a couple weeks ago. It was a favorite hero of mine, Moon Knight. You probably don't know much about Moon Knight.
I don't know a damn thing about Moon Knight. I just know he's Moon in the Knight.
Yeah. He's a weird character. He's kind of Batman-ish. He doesn't really have any powers, but he's supposedly inhabited by some Egyptian moon god called Khonshu.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a bad guy. He was kind of like a mercenary before. And the first time he tried to do something right, he was trying to protect people over there on a archaeological dig. And the rest of the mercenaries gunned him down. He, quote-unquote, died at the foot of the statue of the moon god.
Okay.
He comes back, decides he's going to be a badass, but he wears a completely white costume at night.
Okay.
Yeah. They've for years, he's came out in the 70s. This is a character from the 70s, and he's been...
Now it kind of makes a little more sense.
But they've always struggled with him. They've launched series of his a few times. And every time they're trying to find something unique about him.
Right.
Well, the more they went on, the more they fucked him up. I mean, they've given him split personality disorder. He's got multiple personalities. The last series he had, his multiple personality disorder manifested as him thinking he was on a team of Avengers. He thought he was working with Captain America, Wolverine, and Spider-Man.
Well, I don't know if I could get through that comic book.
It was fucked up.
Just seems like there would be so much going on.
There was, and it was crazy. And they threw him against enemies they shouldn't have. Like the main enemy that's going to be in the new Avengers movie, that's Ultron. He took on Ultron. This is a guy with no powers. It was weird, but that's all leading up to the newest launch. They got a really good writer on board, Warren Ellis. Guy's amazing, brilliant guy. I might even loan you this issue too, because you'll really like it. The way I've explained it to other people is it reads like a pilot of a TV show.
Okay.
They explain to you in the very beginning, like, this is where he's been, he's fucking crazy. They figured out what's going on with him. He's better. He's sane now.
So he basically...
They've got it figured out.
Like he's on meds?
Without saying so. They don't really... I'm not going to go into all the details of the issue because it is fairly new and I don't want to ruin it for everybody. And the first thing they did was take him out of the costume, which I was a little weird about.
Okay.
Because in the entire... first issue, which is the only thing I have to go by right now. They've done one issue. He's in a business suit. white business suit, all white, and the mask. So he looks like a fucking Mexican wrestler. Like, if anybody knows who Mil Máscaras is, that's what he reminded me of through the whole episode. Now, that's what took me out of the book was the suit. I didn't like the suit. It drove me nuts.
Yeah.
But the way the character's done and the way they're doing it, like, now he's working with the New York City police. Okay. And that there's a whole sequence in it that's awesome, and I hate to ruin it for you if I'm going to loan it to you. It illustrates how the book's going. Like, there's a murder, and he shows up after the murder, and he's rolling in a limo, because this guy's got money. Like, in the previous ones, they've set up that he's was rich before. Then, the last series, the one with the crazy Avengers thing,
right.
He had gone to Los Angeles to oversee a TV show about his life. Like, they're making, like, a TV show of his whole thing.
Okay, okay.
So, it made it interesting. Still fucking weird. So, he's got all sorts of cash. And he's got this limo that drives itself. It's all computerized. But he pulls up at this murder scene. Steps out in the white suit and mask. And the patrolmen are all like, holy fuck, it's Moon Knight. Arrest him, arrest him. Because I guess he's got a warrant out for him for everything he's done. And the guy, the cop leading the investigation says, that's not Moon Knight. It's like, what are you talking about? He's right there. He says, no. That's just a concerned citizen. That's Mr. Knight. He's offered to help us out. And that's how they kind of, like, is with a wink and a nod that he's working with the cops now.
Right.
But on a different level. And so they go through this whole thing where they're tracking this killer. And he deduces the whole thing like he's fucking Sherlock Holmes. And, like, he's explaining it out to you the whole way. Like they would on a TV show so right. You can understand where the story's going. Come to find out, it's an ex-agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. that got horribly disfigured who's doing the killing. And what he's doing is he's killing these people to take body parts from them to try and remake himself. And,
all right.
And they comment on the why he wears white, too, which that was another great one in it. And he says it's because they want him to see him. He wants them to see him coming. Like, they're illustrating the whole I'm a badass thing.
Right.
And that comes back around during the exchange with the villain. Because, I mean, he defeats the villain without really fighting him. Like, the while they're talking and the villain's doing his monologuing, he tells him to throw his weapon away. And what he uses are, like, these moon-shaped, like, shurikens, like ninja stars. And he does. He tosses them. And as they're talking, and the other guy's going on and on because he's huge. And he's like, oh, you know, you can't defeat me, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I defeated you 2 minutes ago. So he just didn't hear it. And what he had done is when it ricocheted off, it nicked one of his arteries, and he takes him down without landing a punch. And it was just so fucking cool the way they did it. I'm not even doing it justice. I'm telling you, you have to check this book out.
All right.
But yeah, that's the one. That what's got me geeked this week, too, because that was just so cool. I'm like, fuck you, take my money. Right. I'm in. I will throw whatever you need to. Just, that's where it needs to be. But again, that's another one that could have been filed in the what the fuck files, too.
So. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. You're going to surprise me on that shit. Yeah. I guess I can see that coming.
Now, I am giving you the floor, sir. I see what you're looking at for the next part of our Geek Speak.
Yeah, we're gonna touch on a few sports issues that are near and dear to my heart. Not really. As you know, I'm a baseball fan through and through. Played baseball my entire life. You know, was good enough to play pro. Unfortunately, got hurt. Couldn't continue my own career. I watch baseball like I'm managing baseball. And I watch, people think I'm crazy, but I would rather watch a 1-0 baseball game as opposed to a 10-9 where there's 3 or 4 home runs hit. I'm not a home run hitter. I was a home run hitter when I played. But I love the chess game of a baseball game. The moves you have to make, the pitching matchups you have to get to win a game. So with that being said, the first topic I'm going to bring up is Derek Jeter retiring. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up is, as you guys all know, Paul is a huge, huge Red Sox fan.
Yes.
And bringing up a Yankee, any type of Yankee situation, I know eats at him.
Maybe a little bit.
So, and then on top of that, his father's a Yankees fan.
Huge Yankees fan. I'm surprised he hasn't knocked the door down. He's got to be listening.
So, I'm going to ask you this question. Where do you rank Jeter? Now, I'm not ranking him as a Yankee yet. My question to you is, where do you rank him as a shortstop? Overall, any shortstop that has played the game of baseball, is he top 5? Is he top 10?
I would say top 5. I really would. I'd put him in there, and I don't know if it's just his prowess as
a shortstop. Now, I'm going to lay this question out to you. Is he still a top 5 shortstop if he's not playing on the Yankees?
I think so. I mean, he's talented. He's a very talented
player. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a very talented ball player.
But you're just saying eyeballs on him because he's on
because he's
team.
A Yankee. He's always, as we said earlier, he's a Yankee. He's always going to be on TV. He's in the spotlight. He's in New York City. That's where the most media is. He's very easy to talk to. He's mm-hmm. very easy to get along with. He gets along with everybody. My whole thing is I think if you put him on a team like the Minnesota Twins or the Kansas City Royals, does he make them a championship caliber team? Or is it just the fact that he was surrounded by such great talent?
Great players.
Now, don't get me wrong. He's a Hall of Famer. Oh, yes. I do think he's a Hall of Famer. Do I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't.
See, I'm going to disagree there, and I'm going to say it's going to go back to...
But at the same token, you're right. He wound up being a first ballot Hall of Famer because...
He was a Yankee.
But he was very likable, and in this day and age, with the steroid scandals that's going on and all that stuff, and we'll get into some that situation also, he's done it clean.
Yes.
He's one of the only guys that's done it clean. My favorite player from when I was growing up, Frank Thomas, is going to be in the Hall of Fame this year. Also, he played in that first era of steroids when everybody was doing it and they weren't testing for it. And he has always come out and said, I never touched it. And if anybody knows who Frank Thomas was, he played at Auburn for college. He was a baseball player, but he was also a football player. So he was just naturally big. But he never got bigger. You're talking about guys like McGuire from 89 when he won the Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. He had big forearms. He was destined to be a big player. But 2001, he was huge.
Yeah.
And from 89 to 2001, there was something going on there.
Right.
Same with Bonds. I've always said, you look at Bonds when he was a Pirate.
Mm-hmm.
He was a skinny little rail. He was a punk.
Yes.
He went to the Giants. And in 2 years,
became a giant,
and he was cut. He was, I mean, you knew something was going on.
Oh yeah,
I mean, yeah, maybe you can do that over a course of time, but at 25 or wherever he was at the time, you can't put on that much muscle weight in 2 years if you work out every day. And granted, you're not working every day because you're going to be playing every day.
Yep.
So there's something going on there. He hasn't admitted to it.
He's never going to.
He's never going to.
But everyone
But on
knows.
The same token, McGuire said the same thing. He never said that he was going to admit to it. He finally said, you know what? I did it.
Yeah.
And I think that's keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. It's keeping Palmeiro out of the Hall of Fame.
Without a doubt.
It's keeping Sosa out of the Hall of Fame. Because Sosa, when he first started out, same thing. He was just a skinny little kid. Like I said, we were talking about Jeter retiring.
But we're starting towards the other end of it.
Right.
Now.
But I do think he's a top five shortstop. I mean, maybe he may be number five for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta put Honus Wagner up there. You gotta put Cal Ripken up there.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. I mean, Honus Wagner, I think, is probably one of the greatest shortstops. But Cal Ripken, just for the amount of time he played, I mean, and he played every single day, as obviously everyone knows, he broke the streak or whatever. But he was always there. And he wasn't, I mean, even if he was hurt, he was playing. And with Cal Ripken, I mean, you knew every day he was penciled in. He didn't take a day off and, you know, DH this or take one at bat and go sit. He didn't do anything like that. He played 162 games
mm-hmm.
every single year. So he I can see Jeter at 3 or 4, maybe another guy from the Dead Ball era, Nap LaRue. I mean, he was always a good hitter and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, nobody's going to deny that. He's got 3,000 hits. He's got 9,000 championships or whatever they've won with him. And he's been in the postseason. He's played 20
times. Yeah.
He started when he was 18. He's going to be 40. So you're looking 22 years. They haven't made the playoffs 3 times in 22 years.
Yeah.
That's a testament to the team, and he's a part of that team. I just think, right. Like I've always said, if you put him someplace else, is he still going to be that good? Yeah, he's still going to be good. He's still going to get his hits. He's still going to do the things he does. But if he goes to a different team, he's got to be the star.
Right.
If you put him on every team, he's going to be a star. With the Yankees, he doesn't have to be a star every night.
No, he's one of the guys.
He's just another player, and he was a table setter and whatnot for the Yankees all those years. But at some point on another team, he's going to have to be that star, where with the Yankees, he didn't have to always be the guy that got the big hit. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, he would get the big hit. But when you go someplace else, when you go to a smaller market team, the Royals, or whatever, wherever, he would have to be that guy every single night. And I don't think he... My personal opinion is don't think he would have been. He may still have been a great player, but he wouldn't have been a superstar because he didn't have the supporting cast.
Right. No, I see where you're coming with that. Yeah.
And I assume you might like that only because, you know, you're picking on the Yankees, but...
Actually, I got to tell you, he's the one guy from the Yankees roster that I've always said that I would love to have seen on the bench for the Sox. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love to have him there.
Yeah. And that goes a testament to the fact that he is a star. And wherever he goes, he's going to be the star.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Yankees, he doesn't always have to be the superstar.
Right.
Where if you put him with... Where Cano... And Cano's going to Seattle. He's got to be the star out there.
Right.
He has to be able to produce every single night. And if he doesn't...
There's no one to fall back on.
Right. It's him. Yeah. It's now the onus falls on Cano. Where when he's with the Yankees, he could have an 0-for-4 night. And some of yours, Granderson or Teixeira or Jeter or Aroyd.
Sorry. I fucking hate that guy.
They could step up and be that guy. Or, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, you had, you know, Clemens and Pettit. And the pitchers could be those guys. He didn't always have to be the guy to get the big hit. Because there was always... You know, Clemens was always pitching well. It was something to that effect. He didn't have to be that guy that got that big hit all the time. So that's why. And I like Jeter. I've always said he's always a class act. He's always, you know, he's now one of these guys that shies away from the media spotlight. He always talks to the reporters. Even last year when he played 14 games or 17 games,
he was out there.
He was out there. He was on the bench. He was cheering on his team. He's a great teammate.
Yes. And he wasn't a poor me, it's not my fault guy.
Exactly.
Unlike
his
next guy.
His counterpart.
You want to talk about.
I don't know if it's just the fact that he put up such a fight that's got me irritated. But Alex Rodriguez, you got whatever it was, 211 games.
Mm-hmm.
This is your second time you got caught.
Right.
Second time. And you still fought saying that wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. Once, shame on me. Twice, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Three strikes and you're out. With baseball, I think I've always said this: one strike, you're done.
You get caught cheating,
and these guys are finding ways around it. Ryan Braun,
yeah, that was a fiasco.
First time he gets caught, says it's contaminated evidence. You get caught a second time, so obviously wherever he was going the first time got rung up. So he went to this guy over here, and this guy got caught. They're always finding the new place to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. I think if Major League Baseball comes out and says, one strike,
done. Yeah.
No chance. You cheat once, because it's happened before. You're talking back in 1919 with the Black Sox scandals, mm-hmm. which is near and dear to my heart because my favorite player is Joe Jackson. One time, they got caught cheating. Done. Pete Rose caught one time cheating. Done. And now Pete Rose, anybody tells you Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he does.
Anybody, if you're not even a baseball fan, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I would readily agree to that. But you get caught cheating.
Done. Yeah.
And I mean, they got caught betting on baseball. Different, might be maybe a little different. But this changes, the steroid era changes the game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you want to just open it up and let anybody use steroids.
Different story.
Right. But if you're going to say you can't do it, you can't give people...
A pass. No,
you can't say, first time is 50 games, second time is a year, third time you're done. Because they're finding ways around it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's found it. A-Rod got caught once, found a way around it. Brown got caught once, found a way around it. They're finding ways around it. You've got to figure out a way to figure it out. My thing with Rodriguez is just own up to it.
Yeah, be a man.
Be a man. Say, you know what?
I did it.
You're right. I did it. Why spend 6 months fighting it? Yeah, you got it reduced to 1 year, but you were already looking at a year.
Yeah.
If you'd have come up right off the bat, when you got rung up and said, you know what, you're right, I did it. You might have gotten 50 games like Braun did, or like Nelson or Cruz did. You might have been able to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you sat and you fought and you fought and you fought and you fought, and you said, no, this guy's lying and you don't have enough evidence. And then you come back and say, all right, I'll take my punishment.
Yeah, I think they should have doubled it then.
At that point, baseball's got to say, why are you fighting so hard if you're just going to say, I did it?
I think he was hoping that they were going to back down. That's why he was throwing it out there. He wanted to see who had a bigger dick, is what it came down to. And obviously, with the steroids, that wasn't going to be him.
Obviously.
So,
but you know, it irritated me that he, you know, for months he was like, "Oh, I didn't do it," and then finally he was like, "I did it."
Yep, I did it. Let's get it over with now. It's so like, now, fuck you. Now it's 2 years.
Right.
Eat a dick.
Right. You know? Now it's now you're looking at, like you said, 2 year suspension. You're looking at a 5 year suspension. You need to make the penalty fit the crime.
Yes.
And if you're going to use now. I've talked to a bunch of my friends, sports friends. You played sports in high school.
Yes.
What'd you play?
A little bit of football, and I was on the... This is going to make you laugh since I'm a big fat guy. I was on the track and field team.
Okay. Played football, even for a little bit. If somebody would have come to you and told you that you can make millions of dollars by using this steroid right here and not get caught, would you have considered it?
Honestly?
Honestly.
Fuck yes.
And I...
I would have dropped my pants right then.
I'm well, the same. Okay, I'm whoa. TMI. Right there.
I was gonna try and clarify it with saying so I could take the injection, but that also doesn't sound good.
That's good. Same thing with me. Baseball player in high school. Was a very good player. If somebody would have come to me and said, take this, because in 15 years, you can be a superstar baseball player, make millions of dollars, and be retired before they start testing it. I would have considered it. I don't know if I would have done it, but I damn sure would have thought long and hard about it. Because look what happened. In the 90s, all these guys were getting huge, making millions of dollars. If I could have done that and gotten what I wanted out of it, you're looking at somebody who has gone the straight and narrow for a long time. I would have considered it. Oh, yeah. I really would have. Because they didn't start testing until 2010. You're looking at 15 years, 16 years without them even testing it. I mean, this is they finally started testing it. Before, it was kind of like, if we catch you, you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're testing you for it. You got to take the test every. It's random. I do remember reading about it. It's random testing, but you have to you at least test at least 3 times throughout the year.
Which I think is more than fair.
It is. And like, I'm going to go back and say, I think if you get caught, done.
There's the door.
Exactly. Other topic we should bring up, being in Syracuse.
I'm not sure it's the right weekend to bring
it
up.
Yeah, probably not the right weekend to bring it up, but college basketball.
Yes.
The tournament starts on Tuesday night with the first 4 teams, but Thursday's the real tournament. Now, SU, number one for 6 weeks, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
This year, played very well, but as of late...
I noticed past tense.
Not playing very well. They've got 1-2 wins in the past...
What, 6 games?
Seven games. My question now becomes you, and I know you're not a real basketball fan. You don't really follow basketball. I follow it this time of the year because I like the tournament. I do the brackets, and I get into all that stuff, and I am going to try for the
$1 million...
Billion.
Billion with a B. Nice.
Billion with a B. The Quicken Loan tournament challenge. That once the seating is done today, I'm going to go and try to... do that. I know as well as I do, I'm not even going to come close. I've never even come close to a perfect bracket. People that say they've got, I mean, I've seen guys that have gotten close. I mean, these are guys that I'm assuming are researching every single team. I'm just kind of picking them out of a hat.
Right.
You know, I pick SU a lot because it's the hometown team. This year, I'm not, I can't.
Right, no.
They get the win Thursday or Friday, whatever day. Do they make it out of the first weekend?
Probably not.
I don't think so. It depends on who they got to play. Because obviously, if they'd have won the ACC, they'd be a number one seed.
Right.
Now you're looking at an at-large bid, so now you're looking at a... Are they a 3? Are they a 4? If they're a 5, they're going to be in some trouble because the 5-12 game is always the hardest game to pick because teams are so evenly matched.
Right.
So, I wanted to bring up SU because we live in the area. You know, our listeners obviously probably be from around here. To an extent, so just throw it out there is to.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I mean, because everybody was on the bandwagon this year because they were doing so great. Yeah. There was a lot of sense of community with everybody rallying around them, and they frankly shit the bed coming up the stretch.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's maybe they're in. I've only seen. Well, no, it's two. One team finished the regular season undefeated before this year. It was UNLV, and they didn't even win the tournament the year they were undefeated. Duke beat them.
Mm-hmm.
If I can remember if that was the year that Duke beat them. I don't remember. The Wichita State this year is not undefeated, but Wichita State plays in a different conference. I mean, UNLV played in the whatever conference is out west. I mean, it was a tougher conference. ACC, best conference in basketball, hands right. down. That's why SU went there. They want the exposure. And I have to admit, it was a good move for
them. Oh, without a doubt. The way the season was going, right. yeah.
And they're going to get top recruiting basketball classes now because they're going to be on TV every week. It's where the Big East wasn't,
yeah.
you know, ACC has always been an ESPN or a Sports Center or an ESPN conference. They always talk about it. Dick Vitale always talks about it. Everybody hates Dick Vitale. I don't think he's that bad, but he's a Duke sympathizer.
Oh, without a doubt.
But if you notice this year, when they were playing SU, he was very much an SU fan.
I didn't catch it.
So I mean, I were talking the first game when they did the, when they were here mm-hmm. and Duke came here and we won in overtime. I mean, he was very much in Duke's in SU's corner.
That's good.
So, but if it was the Big East versus the ACC, I guarantee you he would have been all up in Duke's business.
Right.
So, but I like Dick. I mean, he's a.
You realize
Dick, I like Dick Vitale.
I am cutting that out yes. and reusing that for so much stuff.
I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah, don't.
just leave it at that. Wow. Fantastic. That's almost like you pulling down your pants.
Yeah. To take the injection, yeah. Anyway.
What the fuck? Yeah, seriously.
So we are running kinda long here, so I'm gonna push us forward. This is something I like to call from the WTF files, which, as we know, WTF stands for what the fuck. Now, me being the comic geek I am, I was at the mall Friday going to get comics and walked by a vehicle and had to take a picture of it because I literally said, what the fuck? Now, I'm going to post the picture on the website so they can play along at home.
Okay.
But I'm going to show you my phone right now, and you tell me why that's a what the fuck.
Nice license plate.
There's a Beamer in the picture that pulled in when I was walking through.
Jesus Christ.
Whips in, and I happen to glance over, and it's not even that nice of a Beamer.
No, it's really not.
But the license plate on it, and I really hope to God that isn't their profession. Because the license plate, six-letter license plate, VAGDOC, Vag Doc. If you go through all those years of schooling, you get the degrees, you have your own
practice.
A gynecologist, obviously, is what we're discussing.
We think.
Are you that much of a douche to have that as your license plate? I mean, obviously someone is, but I'm hoping it's a punk kid. Who thought it'd be funny, and they're not really a veg dog.
I don't know. Now I'm sitting here thinking about that.
I mean, would you do that if that was your profession? Would you do something like that?
Would I do something like that? Probably not, because I have a brain on my head of my shoulders. But a guy who's gone through, I will figure it out, 12 years of school,
mm-hmm.
that's first grade to high, through, that's all the way through high school.
And usually to get a PhD.
You gotta go 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it,
which is pre-med, right?
Right. And then isn't it 4 years?
4 to 6, right? Because I thought doctors had to do like 10 years, referencing my knowledge from Tommy Boy.
Okay, we'll say 10 years. So
okay.
From college, it's 10 years to get your doctorate.
Your PhD.
Yeah, your PhD.
And then, is there more to specialize, or is that within that 6 years?
I think that's within the 6 years. You got to do some residence work and all that stuff and whatnot.
So you spend 22 years in school
to come out and put that on your license plate.
Well, now we're also factoring in. I mean, like you said, they got to do their residency, they have to do whatever else, and then they can finally get their own practice. Yes.
Yeah. So you're looking at
at least 25 years. We're talking, being generous, if they're automatically just a rising star.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you figure you start someplace else for a while too. Yeah. You got to be with somebody else to get
before you can be secure enough to break out on your own.
I don't know.
And
would I be that much of a dick?
I couldn't do it. I mean, honestly, I pulled some of the females in my life, namely the girls in my office that I work with. I showed them this picture, and they all said that if they knew for a fact that was their lady parts doctor,
they would.
It would not be again. Like, if they knew that going in, that's not.
No, yeah, I don't know if I could. I don't know.
That's just a straight douche move.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
I mean, even in our industry, because we are both IT professionals, I don't know if I could put, like, help desk guy or something for. No, I have considered putting GeekPod on my license plate now.
That's different, because it's not necessarily. I mean, it's.
It's not douchey, at
it's
least.
It's not douchey. All right, so we're going to now switch focus from our veg doc.
Which, the veg dish.
To around the town. Well, this is, we're going to talk about a few things local to our area, maybe a little special to us or whatnot. I was at the mall, at Destiny, I want to say like a month ago, maybe a little bit, maybe 3 weeks ago. Went to dinner with my my entire family, which we kind of try to do every couple of months. We try to either go to dinner or go to somebody's house and have dinner or whatever. So we went to Dave and Buster's, which is a new place around here at the mall. It's been at the mall about, I'll say 8 months, maybe a year.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Not even a year. We'll say maybe less than a year. But we were sitting out front because it was a long wait. It was about an hour and a half wait for a table. So directly across from Dave and Buster's is this new place called Five Wits. And it looks kind of cool. So I kind of walked over and I was talking to one of the guys about it. But it was 3 weeks ago and I don't remember what we were talking about. But what it is it's kind of like an interactive video game. Which immediately piqued my interest.
Yes.
Because I'm a video game freak. I play video games. I play a lot of sports games, but that's different. Because I'm a sports freak. But it piqued my interest because at the time they had two things you could go through. One was a tomb. So you kind of like
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, hair. Right? Laura Croft type of thing,
yeah.
But not so much Laura Croft because she's more of a she's not like Indiana Jones. So it's more of an Indiana Jones type of interactive thing, which
seems pretty cool.
Which seems pretty cool because I grew up on Indiana Jones. I grew up watching the movies and whatnot. And the other one was
I think they're calling it espionage.
Yes, which is more of a like kind of a spy-ish
James
type,
Bond.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Type of thing. And what it is it's very interactive. Like, you have to solve puzzles to get to the next area. And I asked the guy how long it was. And this, to me, was interesting. It's about a 30-minute episode, we'll call
nice.
It. And it costs $15.
It's cheap.
And now I brought this up to my brother, who we had gone to dinner with, my sister, who's also there. And my sister told me, well, that seems like it's expensive. And I thought to myself, 30 minutes for $15 is $2 a minute. That's less than what people make at a living. Mm. You know, I make, you know, X amount of dollars an hour. You make X amount of dollars an hour. And now we're talking, you know, $10 plus an hour for both of us, maybe even more than that type of thing. So $2 an hour to me or $2 a minute didn't seem all that bad. But also, then you're thinking about it, it's also $15. So you're looking at $30 an hour. So, okay, maybe if you're looking at it that way, okay, yeah, maybe it might be a little expensive. But $15 for 30 minutes, that doesn't include the, you have to go through a 7-minute orientation.
Nice.
So you're looking at 35, now you're looking at 45 minutes almost. And then there's a 2-hour prep or two-minute prep or something like that.
Nice.
So, I mean, it seems like it's about 45 minutes total for $15. So to me, that doesn't seem all that bad. So, but I haven't had a chance to check it out. So right. I think at some point here, maybe when my son's with his mother or something like that, I may take a ride over there and do it. Well, maybe see if we can get a couple of people to go over.
That's what I was going to say. Let's make it a GeekPod outing.
Maybe we can do one of them, or we can go with like a couple of people and two do one and two do another. I did see that in the spring, which I'm not sure if it's April or May, they're going to be opening up a third one, which is kind of a medieval type one, which seems nice. To be kind of cool for people who are into like Dungeons and Dragons.
Ooh,
and
can I bring my sword? Or do you think I'll get arrested?
I think you might get arrested.
I think it would make for a great story on the pod, though.
You getting arrested?
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely make for a good story, but who would bail you out?
Well, you'd have to bring the equipment to the jail.
Because, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see the wife bailing me out for bringing
the
sword.
No, I think your wife would let...
Your
wife would let you stay there.
Yes.
So, now, I mean, is there anything that you want to discuss? I mean, I've got something else I'd like to bring up.
I actually pushed my around town stuff right into my what had me geeked. So okay. It was the Palace Theater thing.
All right. And the other thing that is near and dear to my heart is, like, you know, I'm a sports fan, but I love to play golf. So I went to the Golf Expo a couple weekends ago. Not going to say it was the best expo. It was definitely not worth the $10 it cost me to get in.
Ouch.
The only good thing I got out of it was I got 3 free rounds of golf while I was there. So it did, the $10 did pay for itself. One of the courses I got was a private course.
Nice.
So I went with a buddy of mine who you know very well.
Dear. Three Iron?
Three Iron. One of my closest and dearest friends is his name's Justin Heath. He's an avid golfer. He was a hockey player. Well, for my graduation party, we went to, ironically, went to a golf course. It's my aunt's golf course. It's called Greens at Beaumont. It's the old Skyline golf course out on Route 11. Couldn't remember where it was. But we were out there. We were just kind of goofing around. We had a group of us. I think there was like 9 of us, something like that. And the only person that brought clubs was my buddy Justin. So he volunteered to use his clubs. We played one hole. Everybody hit a ball and whatnot. And we're on the course. And now, Justin and I play golf religiously. Try to play at least once a month. When we were a little younger, we tried to play. We played sometimes twice. This is before I had a kid. Twice or even 3 times a month. So we played golf a lot. And I'm not the greatest golfer. He is. He's pretty much a scratch golfer, maybe a 5 handicap. So we were out there, and some of the other people that were out there, not the best golfers. Maybe have played or whatnot. Paul being one of them.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So Paul hits a ball off the tee. We walk up to it. He takes my buddy's 3 iron. He walks up to the ball, hits it, and then there goes the head of the golf club down the fairway.
Further than the ball.
Yes.
Much further than the ball.
And he's standing with the shaft in his hand going, what did I do? What happened? Now, my buddy Justin, he's a pretty big ball buster, so he gave Paul some crap about it. But on the same token, he didn't care about it because he very rarely uses the golf club. So it's not a big deal. Paul, they still are friends. I mean, if they see each other, they do give each other a little bit of crap about it, but...
Well, that's part of the guy code. You have to.
Oh, of course. And it will be that way.
Forever.
Forever. So, but what I'm talking about is just playing golf in general. I love playing golf. People think it's a sport. How to put it? I can't really put it into words. But people don't like playing golf because it's so hard.
It is very difficult, but I find it relaxing.
and I'm in the same boat as you are. To me, it's... Now, Justin and I normally play together. We try to get a foursome to play or whatnot. So you're looking at 2 hours, 2.5 hours, up to 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
But it's 2.5 to 4 or 5 hours of time when nobody can get a hold of you. Now, being a single parent, that is a relief. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my son. I'll do anything for him. Matter of fact, he may actually start playing golf this summer with me. But it's a chance to get away because I don't get away as much as I like to. Because I do everything. My son and I do everything together, and that's just the way I am. I've always been like that. You know, we go. He likes to. He's like I told you earlier. He's getting into the Learn to Skate program to play hockey. He's going to play baseball, which makes his father really happy. He wants to be a pitcher, which doesn't make his father as happy as he'd like. But the big thing for him is, and for dad, is he switch hits.
Which,
if anybody knows, about baseball, if you switch hit, you can pretty much write your own ticket.
Yes.
Because you just can't. It's like, you know.
Versatility.
It's versatility. I mean, you don't ever have to come out of the lineup. It's like a pitcher who we'll put it this way. I watched a TV show, or I watched a movie the other day on the knuckleball.
Nice.
And they talked to Tim Wakefield, who everybody, if anybody knows anything about baseball, he's been...
Wake.
He's, Paul obviously knows him for the Red Sox. He's been a knuckleball pitcher since the early 90s with the Pirates. R.A. Dickey, who's with the, not with the Blue Jays, but was with the Mets at the time. They're the last two knuckleballers in baseball. And with a knuckleball, you don't have to throw the ball that hard.
No, so it saves the arm.
Right.
You extend your career.
Right, you can pitch. If you can throw a knuckleball, you can pitch. Wakefield pitched until he was, what, 48, 49?
Something like that, yeah.
So you're looking at, he pitched.
And he was still.
Still effective. He still could have, even he said, he still could have pitched. Then he retired, but he chose to retire to spend time with his family. So if you can, I mean, if you can be a pitcher who can throw hard, great. But if you've got that specialty pitch, even better.
Yes.
So I used to throw a knuckleball, but I didn't throw it the right way. So I may teach him it, just to teach him it,
mm-hmm.
and see if he can throw it. But
nice.
I'm hoping, you know, I'm going to get him signed up for baseball in the next couple weeks here and get him out there.
Perfect.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Very cool. So we're going to wrap things up, and I like to end each show with a story from this strange career we've jumped into. That's for the segment I like to call IT Geek. Now this one, and these are now always with my co-hosts, they don't know these stories. I don't prep them ahead of time with these stories. But this one happened at my previous employment where I was a roaming technician.
Would you call it a field tech?
Field technician, I guess, would be the best way to put it. Got a call from a lawyer. He owns his own firm. I'm not going to say where because I don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Because we ain't got that money yet.
Right. Yeah. he's a very good guy. He always treated me well, but he's a bit of a prima donna. Like, everything has to be done immediately.
Goes to the picture of the car.
Yeah, he's kind of a, yeah, he's kind of a veg doc, let's put it that way. I think that's going to be a new thing.
Yeah, right.
He calls up in a panic. As verbatim as I can remember it. Says, Paul, I have very important documents I need printed, and the printer's not working. I said, okay. Have you tried? I don't have time to try. I need you to come out here, and I need it fixed immediately. All right, I'll be up to the office in a minute. No, not the office. Not the office? No, I need you to come to my house.
Okay.
That's exactly, yeah. I said, okay, fine. So I'm rushing over there. I'm like, we're driving like as fast as my truck could take me. I get there, and he lives out in the rich section, let's put it that way. I get there, and literally, him and his wife are, like, standing at the door waiting, like, ushering me in, like I'm prepping for surgery.
Now, rich section, we talking rich east, we talking rich west?
East.
Okay.
And, I'll tell you off mic.
Well, no, I know what you're talking about. You don't even have to tell me.
Okay.
I was trying to figure it out. Maybe if somebody on the podcast can figure it out from...
Yeah, I hope not. Oh. I don't want them to fill out too
well,
much.
They can figure it out. They're obviously not going to work.
Zero in the area.
Right. I just want to know for myself, that's all.
So I get in there, and he sits me down in front of this thing, and it's one of the big wireless printer jobs, like the HP Office Jet Pros, and 8600 to be exact. I'm tinkering with it, and long story short, what had happened is somehow it lost its internet connection. So I get tinkering with it. Now, mind you, this whole time, him and his trophy wife are both over my shoulder, like, chewing their fingernails off. Like, they are freaking out over this. So I'm figuring this has got to be something major.
Right, right.
I get it all done, get everything rebooted, start to print. They're like, like the sigh of relief is palpable. But I need to know what the fuck this is.
I gotta know.
So I'm waiting, like, and they're literally, like, climbing over my shoulder to try and get to this thing as it's printing out. And it spits out, and I grab it, and I flip it over, and like they're like, oh my god, oh thank god. Single sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11. You know what's on that paper? Pictures of fucking Lego Batman.
That's good, because that was what I was thinking.
Pictures of the minifigures. Like, literally, an entire page of, like, it's like one of those posters.
The little characters.
All the little characters that comes in the Lego sets. God. That's all it is. And I have this fucking thing in my hand. And I'm stunned. I'm waiting for something else to come off the printer. I'm like, really? And he snatches it out of my hand and hands it to his wife, who says, and I shit you not, oh, thank God. So-and-so, because I'm not going to give the little boy's name, is going to be so relieved.
Oh, my God.
That's literally. And that's exactly where my end note catchphrase comes from that I end every show with. Megabyte me, bitches.